Okay.
That us?
That's us, good to go.
Okay, everyone's very welcome to the meeting here this evening. So we're fairly used to these rules now, so everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording isn't permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where the Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. Members should ensure their cameras are switched on when speaking, and cameras should also be switched on when a vote is being taken. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you want to ask a question, P if you wish to propose, and S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments in the instant messaging system. In the event that two councillors propose at the same time, the person who proposed first will be taken as the proposer, and the person who proposed second will be recorded as the seconder. Okay, folks, we'll make a start. Everyone's happy enough. I just got an apology from Councillor Owens, and Councillor Clark said he's going to be late.
Sorry, Chair, can I raise the one for Harold McKay as well, please?
Yeah, thank you. Clearly, yep.
And so, Chair, could you record an apology for Joe Parks and Kevin Scullion from the officer side, please?
Yep. Joe and Kevin. Okay, thank you. Move on to declarations of conflict of interest. Is anyone any conflicts of interest?
None, Chair.
Okay, thank you. So item 3 is the action sheet. So I'll just take page by page. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, and page 9. Is there any matters arising from the action sheet?
Yes, I have one, Karen McKevitt here. Sorry, I can't get my wee question on my meeting chat to work.
All right, Karen, go ahead there.
No, it's just on the big clean-up and the information that's provided in that. And given that we have had restrictions with COVID-related issues, a lot of community groups that had organised big clean-ups have actually delayed them for some time. Just maybe to ask Johnny or the team, is there any plans to open up, maybe giving out the bags and litter picks, etc., to our community groups? Because it is a great initiative. We don't want to lose it. People have been absolutely brilliant right across the district during COVID, and you know, out for the walks, whatever, picking up rubbish, etc. Of course, on the other hand, we've had a lot of illicit dumping happen as well. You know, that hasn't gone unnoticed. But just to highlight the big clean-ups, have we any plans to open that back up again for community groups? Thank you.
Okay, Liam, do you want to come in on that?
If I can, Chair, thank you very much. Certainly, yes, we are making preparations to be, whenever it is opened up, whenever we're permitted to support, certainly we have bought in new litter pickers and we have beefed up our stock with them. The communication is through the sustainability group, Patrick McShane. So everything is linked through that. And certainly, yes, when we see what we can support, we'll open it up along the same line, but we will not be able to support everybody at the same time. We will have to see how we can best manage it. And certainly, as councillors will know, we loan out a number of litter pickers. Once the clean-up is done, we make arrangements for the waste to be received at the HRC site. And there we collect the litter pickers on we clean them down and move on to the next group. So that's still our plan. And all I can say is when we're ready to go whenever when it's reopened.
Okay. Thanks, Liam. If that's all on that, can I get a proposal in the seconder there for the action sheet, please? Okay, thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Murphy's proposed and Councillor Andrews has seconded. Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to item 4, which is the use of herbicides across Newry Mourne and Down District Estate. And Aidan, are you coming in on that one?
Yes, Chair. I draw members' attention to the report that has been circulated. And this is on the back of the report on the 22nd of January 2020, where officers were requested to look at a programme to reduce the herbicide application across the council estate. From the report, as members can see, grounds maintenance action have been very busy developing a sustainable weed control regime. We have contacted other local authorities. We have continued our consultation exercise of best practice and advice from agencies, including OPSI, DERA, and the Pesticide Action Network. Officers have continued discussions with local service providers to share operational methods. We've researched and continue to research into effect and practicalities of controlling weeds across the district using other methods, and the proposed operational method with a phase reduction programme, which has been fully embraced by the grounds maintenance section during 2020 and 2021. As members are aware, with COVID restrictions and the effect that this has had on grounds maintenance, we've still achieved a marked reduction in the use of herbicides, namely those with glyphosate. But some of the key issues that we have is that control of weeds without using glyphosate or herbicides is quite impractical. Grounds maintenance reduction has been reduced by 50% during 2021, but there are still a lot of areas where herbicide use of glyphosate is the only way that we can control weeds and invasive species. Glyphosate is still a registered weed killer and still is registered and licensed to be used. But the grounds maintenance department have made great strides in the reduction of the use of glyphosate by using different methods, stem injection for invasive species such as hogweed, droplet applicators where it's not a spray, it's just a specific applicator. And then some of the other methods that have been trialled with it, with the foam cessation system, with weed eradicators of different types. But the grounds maintenance department have made great strides and have achieved what was asked of us from the January report, Chair.
Okay, thanks for that, Aidan. I see Councillor Brown has a queue in there. Councillor Brown, you're not actually on the committee. I'll let you in, but can you keep it as short as possible, please?
Yes, I appreciate that, Chair. I just wanted to come in this item as the councillor who originally brought the motion. Thank you very much. I do welcome the efforts that have been made and the progress by the officers in reducing the use of glyphosate over the last year. It's certainly to be welcomed, and I do also appreciate the unique context of 2020 and the barriers that was always going to put up to reaching targets and advancing some of those other methods of managing weeds and so on. But I do think that it's important that we don't allow any slippage or backtracking on what was originally agreed last year by council, I think unanimously, and that was to phase out the use of glyphosate products altogether, and I believe that was within a 3-year target. It's understandable that there's been some slippage on the time frame involved there. That would be understandable, but I think the overall aim should still be to phase it out completely. And when councillors made that decision, I think they were cognizant of the fact that it would be more awkward and difficult and costly to use alternative methods. I think that was always, that was always a fact of the debate. At the end of the day, we made the decision to get rid of glyphosate to phase it out in the interest of the health of ratepayers and people using facilities across the district because of concerns about glyphosate, and the fact that the health and safety advice that allows it to be used is well out of date, and in my opinion, from my research I've done on it, incredibly biased. So it is somewhat impractical, and I appreciate the difficulty that's placed on officers, but I also think it's the right thing to do in the interest of health of the people of the district. I do think that we shouldn't be ruling out completely moving away from glyphosate, except in some specific circumstances, for example, where it needs to be injected into invasive species, Japanese knotweed or whatever. I think there's a case to be made to keep some glyphosate stock aside for that. But I don't think we should move away from completely cutting it out until we've properly investigated and trialled the foam stream system. I know, I think it was Sheffield City Council said it wasn't that effective, but I do think from research that I've done, and they're the only council that came back on it, I don't think it's been tried properly. From what I've read, it is quite effective, and I don't think we should be moving away from it altogether until we've given it a proper test run. I appreciate over the last year it wasn't practical for us to rule it out necessarily, but I would like to see that done and brought back to a committee for a report on that. I just want to ask Aidan or any of the officers, do you think we are going to be able to phase out glyphosate except in very, very limited circumstances within the next 3 years? And also another question, well, I think we had agreed last year that where in any areas where glyphosate is sprayed, that signage would be erected to warn people about it. Is it the case that we've completely moved away from any spraying, or has that signage been used in those situations?
Okay. Thanks, sure. Councillor Brown. We'll let Aidan in there to answer that for you.
Yeah, Chair. Signage has been used where we are using the glyphosate sparingly in the council. Signage has been erected. The mechanics of glyphosate is that it attacks the roots of the weed, and we have invested in several machines over this past 12 to 14 months where we are taking the top off the weed. This really promotes weed growth, and there hasn't been anything come onto the market yet. We have seen the study on the foam weed control machine, and it attacks the leaves of the weeds. It doesn't eradicate them, which means that we are going, rather than going every 6 weeks to do weed control, we're going every week, every 2 weeks to do weed control. If we could move away from glyphosate, yes, we could, but there are specific situations where, unfortunately, it is still needed because there is nothing on the market which attacks the roots of the weeds and gives that longer term eradication.
Okay, thanks for that, Aidan. Councillor
McKevitt,
have you a question
now? I just want to welcome the contents of the report. The fact that other local authorities across the region are also looking into this has to be welcomed. It shows that politicians and the like are very serious about taking this out of society, but I have to take the point of when you see the harm that's done by the like of the Japanese knotweed to the burns and stuff, if it's needed to in special circumstances like that, of course, it has to be done, because that alone is something on a league of its own, what harm it can do. The reduction of 70% has to be welcomed in the times that we're in as well, with COVID and staff shortages, or not staff shortages, whatever it may be. That was great. But I think what Councillor Brown was asking about, are we close to being eradicated within the next 3 years? I think that motion was changed to or to the nearest to it. And I would still like that to be the case. You know, if it's not possible to deliver it within the 3 years, the nearest time to that should cover at the earliest opportunity. But it was a great report and something of a positive motion like that to come to council to see it, a reduction is actually quite welcome. So thank you.
Okay, thanks, Councillor McKibbitt. Okay, so I don't see any other questions in there. Can I get a proposer and a seconder there for item four? Thanks, Councillor McKibbitt. Can I get a seconder, please? Thanks, Councillor Andrews. Okay, folks, we move on to item five. And this is developing Newry Moreland and Down District Council's tree strategy. And Aidan, this is you again.
Thanks, Chair. My colleague, Jonathan Ellis, who's on the meeting, has put a tremendous amount of work into developing the Newry Moreland and Down District Council tree strategy. The strategy really is an ongoing item, a fluid item, where the council will endeavour to enhance the district with the tree planting, something that has already started and has had great kudos from members of the public and councillors alike. If you see point 2.3 of the report, where the areas in 2020 where various roadside landscape improvements were initiated throughout the district, and in 2021, even with the dreaded COVID, the Grounds Maintenance Department had continued on with the tree planting strategy. This will give improved air quality, a tourism gateway, carbon reduction, visual screening, enhanced local character, noise and air pollution buffer, and a pollinator corridor, and enhance the biodiversity throughout the district. As I said earlier on, this report, this strategy, is an ever-evolving, ever-moving piece of work which Jonathan Ellis and his team have worked tirelessly throughout difficult times to ensure that the areas set out that we were going to develop with the tree strategy have been achieved. It's an ongoing practical project to produce tangible results, including potential funding avenues, collaborative working with other bodies and local groups, and physical seasonal working continues across the area, where during our non-grass cutting times of the year, our staff are used to do the tree planting strategy. 6,000 trees have been secured via the Woodland Trust, Conservation Northern Ireland have been planting in the district, and DERA's small woodland grant scheme was recently released, and we've applied for it in relation to Newcastle's Island Park and Delamann Park. So I would ask members to support the council's tree strategy and support the ongoing work that Jonathan and his team are doing to enhance the district with the tree planting of various species and various native species of trees, Chair.
Yeah, thanks for that, Aidan. I see we have a proposer in there with Councillor Andrews, and he'd like to ask a question as well. Councillor Andrews, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Chair. It's more of a general comment than a question. First of all, I would like to congratulate and say well done on such an excellent piece of work. You know, I've seen in the report examples of forward thinking, progressiveness, and it is a very important strategy. Over the past lot of years, we've become more aware of the environment and how trees, etc., can play a major part in that. And I do also welcome organisations like the Woodland Trust, for example, where I live in Crossgar, just outside the village. The Woodland Trust have expanded at Glasswater Wood, and I've seen it firsthand
such a wonderful facility and such a program in action. Again, I welcome the report and congratulate all concerned for the hard work in putting the report together. So I'm only too happy to propose the tree strategy, and I wish everybody well and working with it. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Andrews. And Councillor Stokes is in there to second and ask the question. Go on ahead, Councillor Stokes.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Again, great report, and great to see that's really great work been done by the team, Chair. I think this year especially, we've all found, different places to go and, open space and woodland. We've discovered places maybe we didn't know existed on our doorstep, and I think this is all very exciting and only going to get better. And encourage the team also to look when start thinking about our Albert Basin Park in Uri when it comes on stream, that we have we're obviously going to have trees on it, Chair. There's really woodland on at the moment at some extent, but there's huge opportunity there, and I believe the Woodland Trust already have looked at that side as well. So yeah, great, and thanks, Chair.
Yes, thanks, Councillor Stokes. Councillor Mason.
Thanks, Chair. Just like the other contributors have said there, it's really, really great to see such a positive report like this. And it possibly is just now that we're actually able to take a wee bit of time and appreciate the beauty that we'll have around us. So really, really welcome the report. And the list of benefits there, Aidan, that we're going through, it's truly amazing, actually, when we take a wee step back to think about it. It's definitely tying in with, I said, in the Sustainability and Climate Change Forum and how it fits into that strategy. It's brilliant to see, and hopefully there's more and more and more to come. Something that I did note on the report as well was the engagement with the local schools and different groups and stuff like that, which is fantastic, and we should really try and promote that as much as we possibly can. And even working alongside maybe some of the private groups and private businesses and things like that. Something I just wanted to ask, I know that it came up at a time about the rewilding scheme. There was a motion went in from previous councillor Liz Kimmins. I was just wondering, is it possible to get some sort of update? Obviously, this update is very extensive in the work that's going on, but is it possible to get some sort of update on that rewilding scheme, maybe to come to another committee meeting as well?
Yeah, that's something I have to say, members, that as I said, my colleague Jonathan Ellis has been instrumental in the tree strategy and the rewilding strategy. On the glyphosate report, Jonathan has invested a lot of time and energy onto it, but the rewilding report is one, Chair, that will be coming quite soon, hopefully.
Okay, thanks for that, Aidan. I think that we'll probably get officials to bring an update to the next meeting on the rewilding.
Sorry for cutting across you. I'd like to thank Cathy very much for her address and comments. Maybe if the officers would get in contact with APSI, with Wayne Priestley. He would be the parks. He does a lot of work with parks and, horticulture, and maybe I sat in that working group as its chair, and a lot of the local authorities in England and Scotland and Wales done a lot of planting along the lines of wild planting and everything, so maybe they could be used as a contact for further information that could help the next of the council and progress in what Liz and Cathy spoke about. Sorry, Chair, I've got across the gap, but thank you.
Okay, Councillor Andrews. Thank you. Councillor Taylor, have you a question there?
Yeah, Chair, it's more a comment. Listen, I do want to thank Jonathan for the work that he's done on this report. It's a great report, very extensive, an enormous amount of detail in it. And certainly I welcome, all the content of it. I do, similar to what Cathy said, I do welcome the, commitment to engagement with the communities on these, plans. I know I've had discussions with Jonathan in the past about, the towpath, for instance, as an example, given the feedback that I have had from communities that live close by that, and it's, again, a very widely used facility across the community, so, that this ties in with that, and certainly, we should be proceeding as much as we can with it, identifying sources of funding to make sure all of it comes to fruition, so it's certainly, very, 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 very much, it's welcome this, detail that we've been presented with tonight, and again, as a member of the Sustainable, you know, and Climate Change Forum, you know, we all recognise the great benefits that trees bring to the environment. So it's something that we need to proceed with, you know, as we're going to sort of achieve the targets that we have in that regard. So there's more comment to thank Jonathan and anybody else that's been involved in this. A great report. So, and hopefully we can bring everything involved in it to fruition going forward. So thanks very much, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Taylor. I'm just going to bring in Johnny there, who wants to come in on that first.
Yeah, Chair, I just want to thank the members for the very positive feedback, and I'm very mindful that this is an evolving strategy over the next number of years. Would it be helpful if we brought back an annual update to the committee on the actions that we would previously have implemented in the last 12 months and what we see in the next 12 months of activity emerging? Is that something the committee can maybe agree to?
Yeah, I think that's... Everyone would be in agreement for that, yeah. Thanks, Johnny. Councillor Tinley, I see you're not on the committee, but I'll let you in there if you can keep it short, possible.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Just concur with the previous speaker's, Chair, but an issue actually I wanted to just bring up. Seems to be an awful lot of tree felling, Chairperson, going on in Cabrony Park at the minute. By chainsaw as well as Mother Nature. Now, I would have to say, Chairperson, I've seen more trees fail in the past year or two than I probably ever have in my lifetime. So I'm actually just, I had mentioned this to Jonathan Ellis, and he had mentioned something about inspections were carried out and disease was found. So can I sort of get a more detailed response from Aidan in that regard? And I suppose the point I wanted to make sure was that these issues are raised with us as elected members by members of the public after the trees end up on the ground. Trees in some instances that would be over a century old. So if that sort of work is going to be ongoing, could we at least maybe get a heads up that it is going to happen, and could councillors be informed about that? Because I suppose, like all our parks, Chairperson, people are very, very precious about the history surrounding what goes on in them parks. So thank you for letting me in. Thank you.
Yeah.
Aidan,
do you want to come back on that?
Yeah, Chair, we have enlisted a contractor and a consultant to look at the state of the trees throughout the district. And we would identify on occasion trees that are unsafe due to disease, as Councillor Tinley has said, or the root structure has been compromised. So Jonathan has engaged with Dr. Philip Blackstaff and R&M consultancy who do the tree felling, and under health and safety, if it's identified that that tree is past its lifespan or a danger to the people within, especially within a park where it's a possibility of walkers been injured by a fallen tree, we will take proactive action to fell that tree. But as sustainable process as possible. We don't fell trees just for the sake of felling trees. This is done on a very scientific and managed process. But again, we can collate that information and pass it on to Johnny McBride to this committee.
Yeah, thanks, Aidan. Okay, if everyone's happy enough, we'll move on to item 6. Which is the Enforcement Improvement Plan, and that's Liam, is it?
Yes, Chair, thank you. Could I start by saying that we have had some delays with regard to the Improvement Plan, or the Enforcement Improvement Plan, as Council had previously considered. What we have done, as in your papers in Appendix 1, we have updated the plan. I've colour-coded it to highlight actions which we have and which we are currently taking. But if, Chair, if you would allow me, I would like to make some comments on the cover report. Mm-hmm. And, well, firstly, councillors had asked for details regarding the levels of fly tipping. Basically, we have a 75% increase in fly tipping from the previous year. If you refer to that chart number 1, you will see that in the blue line, that we did peak during the COVID period. And really our increase is up. We're up from 409 reports of fly tipping in the previous year to 717 in this year. And that's a 75% increase. I was also asked in relation to enforcement officers responding. I can assure you that enforcement officers respond to every complaint and we attend every report of fly tipping. And it is difficult with the numbers that we have, but we are about now for the summer season to take on an additional 2 seasonal enforcement staff. So that will take up our staffing from 4 to 6. If I could refer to chart 2, and really why I put that up, this is information from Keep Northern Ireland Beautiful, and certainly it just basically identifies that reports of dog fouling have returned to basically what were 2015 levels. And we will be targeting this, as you will see from the Enforcement Improvement Plan. We have quite a significant communications plan to report to promote responsible dog ownership. We are undertaking joint patrols with dog wardens, and we have a number of community projects that we will relaunch once COVID restrictions allow that. I wanted to make comment on the number of fixed penalty notices that we have been issuing. As you recall from previous meeting, we have only just got our numbers of enforcement officers up to speed. We've been doing quite a bit of training. But over this last 2 months, we've issued a total of 22 fixed penalty notices, with another 12 that are in the pipeline. And given that in 2019-2020, Keep Northern Ireland Beautiful reported that we issued 54 notices, well, I would suggest that we're getting well into that number, and I hope what it does is that it's certainly that officers will issue fixed penalty notices where evidence is found. We'll keep this aspect under review, and we do intend to publish the statistics. If I could refer you, Chair, through to paragraph 2, and it's just that we're liaising with appropriate bodies in relation to best practice. We've attended meetings with the Northern Ireland Dog Advisory Group that we never had attended before. We've been involved with the Northern Ireland Environment Agency, other councils, and also with the Dog Trust. Lastly, Chair, if I can say, we are working on a number of PR campaigns. I have listed them now at paragraph 2. I will be meeting with Aidan McLoon in marketing, and we're going to be rolling out a number of PR campaigns over the next few months. They will be addressing just awareness in our environment from dog fouling, responsible dog ownership, littering and cleanups. We would very much like to use all the opportunities we have, possibly radio, advertising, using our own website. But certainly there's quite a range of initiatives that we will be addressing. As I said earlier, the one where in community engagement might take slightly longer, but we do anticipate that will happen. So as advised, all these issues are included in the Enforcement Improvement Plan, and basically I would ask that the committee approves the plan with the next update scheduled to come to this committee in May of 2021. And other than that, Chair, unless Director Johnny McBride wants to come in, I'm happy to take any questions.
Okay, thanks for that, Liam. There's a few questions in there. Councillor Casey's in there first.
Thank you very much, Una. Thanks a lot. Liam, you're saying all the right things there. Can you hear me okay, Una? Yeah?
Yeah.
Yes, I can, yes.
Liam, you're saying all the right things here about enforcement, and unfortunately fixed penalty notices tell a different tale, I have to say. And I don't know if our councillor is actually serious or beginning to get serious on the two main issues, and you highlighted both of them there, you know, the 75% increase in illicit dumping and dog fouling levels back to 2015 levels, whatever the case, responsible for those high levels of dog fouling. And the sort of a lull in between. But it's all about making examples of dog owners who act irresponsibly. You can't blame the poor dog, but you blame the dog owner. I'm highlighting dog fouling in particular because it's the bane of everybody's day, is treading on dog foul, or children treading on dog foul and carrying it all through the house. So it's great to hear you saying that the county is going to be very proactive with some maybe campaigns, video campaigns even. We've tried a couple of those in the past that weren't overly successful. I think they were abysmal failures, maybe to say the least. But I wait with bated breath to see how our council does decide to tackle these two issues, because the last 4 or 5 years, in particular since this has been really highlighted, dog fouling in particular, there has been, I don't think the council has not been very successful in combating the problem. Thanks very much, Aduna.
Thanks, Councillor Casey. Councillor Stokes.
Yeah, thanks, Chair, and probably along the same lines as Charlie. I mean, it's good to see whatever progress there is, but look, we all know, Chair, you don't need to go too far, and COVID, people are spending more time outdoors, but there's also a small minority are also dumping their rubbish at the side of the road and letting their dogs do whatever they want, and it's clear for everyone to see, and it's so sad, you know, and it isn't the council staff, and it's not us. You know, people blame the council, but we're not the ones. But, you know, we started up our game here, but, you know, it's the old story, you know, said this over the years, you know, it's like the seatbelts, you know, nobody wore seatbelts until the fines came in, and then everybody wore seatbelts, you know, until we really up our game, you know, in terms of enforcement. We've done a lot of education, we have to keep doing that, but the enforcement has to be there. And it, you know, it has to, you know, be as you know, as straightforward as possible, that if you're gonna let your dog do whatever it wants and you're gonna, you know, throw your coffee cup in the hedge, that you have to face the penalty. Until that comes, we're gonna be blighted with this for years to come. I would say, ask Liam and his team and the director, you know, if you need extra resources, you come back to the council. You know, if it's an issue, you don't have enough staff or don't have enough whatever, please come back to us, because, you know, if you need extra people or extra resources, I don't think this, you know, the council, I don't think we'll be found wanting, because we know the problem that is. Thanks, Chair. I'm happy to propose a report as well. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Stokes. Councillor Malone.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Liam. Just agree with Councillor Casey and Councillor Stokes. Dog fouling is getting out of hand, but with regards to illegal dumping, we're going to have to maybe look at maybe covert cameras on a number of hotspots. Maybe we have hotspots even today, for example, in the Upper Dumolly Road, there's been a substantial amount of rubbish dumped. We have Bulls Hill, we have 6 or 7 specific areas where there's regular dumping. So in all likelihood, within a short period of time, you will be able to catch those people who are dumping. And we need to move with the times and nail these people, because it is getting out of hand. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, thanks, Councillor Malone.
Councillor Mason. Thanks, Chair. Much along the lines that the others have said, I do completely understand that COVID has maybe stalled some of the action plan and stuff from taking place, but on the other hand, I think COVID has completely exacerbated the issue as well. More and more of us are out walking, and I think people are noticing it more, which is maybe part of the reason behind it. I also agree, it's not the council's fault ultimately, it's the culprits. It's those who are throwing their waste away, and it's those who are allowing their dogs just to do as they please. My concern, I suppose, in reading the report, it's just the levels of fines that are being issued. Is that a resources issue? I know that there's 2 additional seasonal staff coming, which is positive, but will they be actively enforcing dog fouling and issuing fines and things around that? Unfortunately, people, and I know people that are coming to me, are of the view that, and I'm not saying this is the case, because obviously we can see that there is an action plan there, but they are of the view that the council aren't really doing anything about it. Yes, they know that there's stickers and there's posters and there's things and there is a PR plan around it. But I think that we really need to take a step up in this and show how serious we are about it, because and I'm sure the rest of the councillors will agree, it's day and daily we are getting people contacting us about it. Like I say, glad to see that there is a plan in place, but we really do need to show that we're proactive on it. On the general issue as well of, I know there's fly tipping and illicit dumping and things like that, but just the level of littering on our rural roads as well. And I do know that there's things coming up with community cleanups and things like that, but it's just another one of those ones that we're contacted about day and daily. Liam, I was really glad to hear you said there's another update coming in May on this. Could I suggest that maybe we keep it on the agenda as a monthly item, just to maybe get a more regular update and just to maybe show how serious we are about it, you know, so that we can see if there's incremental changes or anything that's being done that's making positive changes. And just the other thing, what is the difference in the likes of Ards and North Down where they are issuing a lot more fines and things like that? Is that a resource issue, or, you know, what are we doing different here? But like I say, glad to see that there is a plan in place. I just think we need to get more serious about it.
Yes, thanks, Councillor Mason. Liam, do you want to come back on some of that before I take the next batch of questions?
I can. Chair, I hope I got them in order. Maybe if I take them through, maybe from Councillor Casey. Maybe what I picked out from Councillor Casey is about the number of fixed penalty notices. And certainly, we now have a new team. The new team probably only really got off the ground from the 1st of January. As I say, once they were appointed in October, November, through training. Now, we've issued, certainly we believe we've issued 34 fixed penalty notices in that 2 month period. The team certainly are very aware that this is an item that is being scrutinised and certainly that we're being measured on. So certainly the team are up for it once wherever they can get evidence. The problem for us is that we don't always and are not always able to get the evidence. So certainly we're quite happy. We certainly do propose to publish and as to the number of items, number of fixed penalty notices that we would be issuing, and also we do propose maybe to do that possibly by council, you know, electoral area. Councillor Stokes, if I could maybe pick the point about responsible dog ownership. There is a big issue here, and I think in one of Appendix 3 attached to the report, we do have responsible dog ownership. We propose to roll it out every dog that's licensed, that any owner that's licensed in the dog will receive a bit of information on what responsible dog ownership is about. Now, we believe it's a fairly small proportion of dog owners, and we have roughly, we think, about 10,000 licenses that we issue in the district per annum. So certainly we've quite a number of, you know, dogs out there, and certainly if we can get this message out through dog responsible dog ownership, I think that might be a very important part of our strategy. Councillor Malone has picked up about the illegal dumping. Certainly I did record in the report that CCTV is very much on our agenda. We have been consulting with other local councils. We certainly hope to learn best practice from them, and I would have hoped that by the May committee to be able to come back and say what our proposals are in that area. Councillor Mason has certainly, well, about the staff issuing fines again, and I hope I've addressed that with maybe when I was saying that in relation to Councillor Casey. Update in May, certainly Councillor Mason, we certainly put that in because this is something that we want to keep rolling in there and demonstrating as to what we're doing on this area. You have mentioned Ards and North Down. One area that Ards and North Down had looked at was in relation to the use of a private company. And I suppose maybe if I can come back to what Councillor Stokes had said, number of staff that we have will go up from 4 to 6. We dealt with 720 odd illicit dumping. If we're dealing with the illicit dumping, we can't be doing patrols for litter fines. So, you know, there is, if we can get the illicit dumping reduced and get our team out to spend more time on the issuing of strict penalty notices. And if not, we may be coming back to the council to say, look, here's the staffing issue that we have. I hope, Chair, that I've covered all of the items. If anybody wants to raise anything else.
Yeah, we have a few more questions after. Johnny, I think, just wants to come in now before these next batch of questions. Johnny, are you looking in there?
He's frozen.
Has he? He's on mute too. Okay. We'll get Johnny back. Councillor McKevitt, I'll take you next, sir.
Yeah, thanks very much, and can I thank Liam for the report. And actually, it's quite impressive to think that the 34 fixed penalties have been issued with a new team in place just from late last year. And that's, if you go on the pro rata, it's actually, it's going to be at the end of the year quite a high number, which to be fair, when you're looking at the team facing the increase in fly tipping up by 75%, them figures are actually quite impressive. But on to what Gary has said, with the additional staff, I mean, I think we are an advantage as councillors where we do social media, and most councillors, or all councillors, are very proactive in highlighting where illicit dumping has happened. But they also highlight the quickness of the staff from the council team and when they remove that, particularly in the times of COVID, when I, for the life of me, can never figure out how someone could go to the bother of putting rubbish in a trailer, or rubbish in a van, or rubbish in the boot of a car, to go to a road which has recycling centres on it, and for it to be closed, and then go on down the road and dump it at the side of the road. And that is what's happening regular. And Liam, I've been constant contact with yourself on illicit dumping, and can only say, like, you know, when it happens, I do realise that most of the stuff has to be spread now for the protection of staff and all that, but it happens as quick as possible. The CCTV is something that I know works, because we have a landowner on the Chapel Road, not that far away from the recycling centre there, and he has put up CCTV on an area where weekly, if not daily, there was always illicit dumping happen. And when he put it up, it has eliminated it straight away with a visual of a camera there. And so I would welcome any expenditure if the council gives for, particularly for remote sites in and around the district, for CCTV. It's shameful that there's people out there that continue to do it. And I would just be curious to see if the fixed penalty notices given out, was there any repeat offenders? And is there anything more that can be done there? So, I mean, look, the report's very welcome in that the council seem to be getting organised with additional staff to solve this, albeit seasonal. But it is shameful, and we do have to recognise that if there's a 75% increase in fly tipping from 409 cases last year to 717, our message isn't getting out there strong enough, and we need to support maybe Cathy's suggestion that maybe we should put this on the monthly agenda of neighbourhood services, so as a team we can all get on top of this together. Because I mean, I would just love to be able to name and shame some of those pieces of information that have been gathered up, maybe on the like of the Ryanstown Road recently. There's one that I can think of, do you know. So I mean, look, listen, it's a pain in the butt where we have to deal with this, but the message is clearly not getting across to those when we have an increase of that, which is very, very shameful. But I mean, the team are doing great work. Welcome the new team coming in. If there's six there to deal with it, and they've been able to deal with 34 new cases from the start of the year, so that's actually quite good. But I mean, if we can name and shame them, it would be even better on social media. Thanks.
Thanks, Kyson Kevitt. I think Johnny's actually been thrown out there, so we'll just finish off the questions. So, Councillor Murphy, you're next.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, no, I agree. Thanks very much for the report. And I definitely concur with both Gavin and Karen about CCTV. There are some places I think if you take a look at the slip roads both onto the A1 and off the A1, it's possibly when people think they're going onto the A1 or the motorway, they decide to turf their rubbish out first, because, you know, there really, really are hot spots. But, you know, I also agree with, you know, people talk about, you know, responsibility of, you know, dog owners and stuff like that there. But part of the problem is that there is such a lack of responsibility. You know, we don't have a tenth of the work to do if people were more responsible. And I know, like, as Cathy's already said, you know, you're noticing it more since, you know, people are out of work and schools are off and people are walking the roads. But if you take a look at it, and I only have anecdotal evidence and circumstantial evidence, I don't have any hard evidence, but it has to be the secondary school kids are responsible for quite a bit of this, because it is the plastic bottles that, you know, hold the soft drinks. It is the crisp bags. It's that type of stuff that, you know, kids would normally be at school consuming, but dumping in a bin at school. It's now getting dumped on the roads. And I know my own, I have a wee fella who is in P7, and they're taught in school, you know, about, in fact, the whole issue of littering is also connected to climate change as well, you know, and they're very conscious, you know, so the primary school kids are very conscious of, you know, ensuring that they don't litter. I think once they leave the primary school and they go into the secondary school, that's when it all falls apart. So I know it has been mentioned in under the support and action about education in the schools. I think the focus needs to be on the secondary schools, grammar schools, secondary schools, and possibly the Southern Region College as well. Now, how we do that, I'm not 100% sure, because it's much easier, I think, you know, in primary schools. But there has to be a responsibility, you know, by the schools, as well as the personal responsibility as well. The fly tipping, I have to concur, you know, with what Karen has said. You know, whenever I report it, in fairness, they are the most fast and efficient crew of people to come out and sort it out. You know, that's been my experience anyway. I know that their stuff has been dumped in areas that aren't the responsibility of the council and probably still is lying there. It could be the forestry, it could be somewhere else. But in fairness to the crew that works out of Greenbank, you know, they're always fast and furious on the spots, you know, whenever it's reported, you know, so fair play to those guys. I think that's it. That's it, Chair. Thanks.
Yes, thanks, Councillor Murphy. Yeah, I would also have to concur with Councillor McKevitt and Councillor Murphy. As horrible as the fly tipping is, I have to say, in the Slieve Gullion area anyway, I'm not sure about other areas, but the team are very, very quick to lift anything that we report. So you have to thank the council team for being so swift in their actions in that regard, even though they shouldn't have to do it as often. Anyway, Johnny's still lockdown.
No, Chair, I'm back in.
Oh, you're back.
I managed to reconnect. It took me away.
No problem. Johnny, do you want to come in there, or will I take Councillor Andrews' final question there first?
Yeah, well, I'm happy to give way to Councillor Andrews, and if you don't mind, I can maybe come in at the end. Mindful of missing probably about 5 minutes of the discussion.
No problem. Councillor Andrews, do you want to come in there?
I do indeed. Thanks very much, Johnny, for giving way. You know, first of all, I commend with the sentiments of the previous speakers. It's a very good report. For me, the good frog just goes here. As I say, as elected representatives, we've all been inundated with concerns about dog fouling and fly tipping, especially, you know. And I know when councillors touch on education, I know whenever I was in a strategic waste working group along with Councillor Casey and others, you know, Liam, you were there too, and Johnny, I think, on the odd time, you know, whenever he was deputised, you know, and a lot of education, we'll talk about education, we'll go through the schools. Would be the key method of getting the message forward. But I do agree with Deccan and others there about the ideas of CCTV, and maybe if that could be looked into an option as well, that you do have a mobile camera that, you know, that could be fitted in, pardon the pun, in hotspots that, you know, are pandemic with dog fouling and also with fly tipping, and that maybe could send out a message that was sort of way, you know, keen to address the problem that is ongoing. But, you know, I also, on previous occasions, have spoke about naming and shaming, you know, and I'm not sure why this council has a legal position if there are bylaws that we are bound by to amend that, you know, would increase penalties. For example, if you look at our counterparts, Donegal, Louth, Monaghan, the penalties that they have in place and signage, etc. Even the provision of dog bags, you know what I mean, along, you know, lakes of beach, you know, along the harbours and popular walkways would be another option too. Maybe if our officers could contact our counterparts in the neighbouring county councils and see how they deal with it. But I do think that the message, getting the message out, is the key. We need to look at the bylaws. We need to look at the penalties and, you know, setting out a message that decent people have had enough of irresponsible dog owners and fly tippers, etc. That, and just enough is enough. But again, as I say, I support all that has been said, and I do, and in relation to the team that have been in place, and also to Neil, who was there before them. Neil and the new team have done excellent work, and they're all going to be commended for their labours. And as I say, at council, we've talked about staff levels, and if you feel that you need more staff, more resources on the ground, you'll find there'll be an open door here, Liam, for that request. You know what I mean? I think it's important that we're sending a message to our ratepayers that we mean business and provide a better service. Thanks very much. Thanks, Chair of the Indulgence.
Yeah, thanks, Professor Andrews. Liam, do you want to respond to a few of those before I take Johnny in?
Well, thank you very kindly. I'd certainly like to thank the councillors for their comments. And certainly I'm picking up very loud that CCTV is a big issue for us. The levels of FPN issued, I just really want to pick up for Councillor McKevitt. We have not issued 34 fixed penalty notices this time. We've issued 22 with 12 pending. We anticipate that it may develop into 34, but at this point in time, it's 22 plus 12 in process. The naming and shaming, Councillor Andrews, unfortunately, we're not able to do that. Once somebody finishes their fixed penalty notice, that's them. Unless they're taken to court. But once you issue a fixed penalty notice, we're not able to name and shame. But as our view, that it would be useful to publish the numbers that we do issue, possibly by a geographical area or council area. So that was why we proposed to publish by council area. We have, on behalf of the council, and I know the council will continue to lobby for higher fines. We certainly have a view that the fines level is not enough. I will pass on your comments to our team, and certainly I can only assure you that they are focused and certainly want to deliver for us. So thank you for your comments.
Thanks, Liam. Johnny, do you want to?
Yes, Chair. Thank you. Apologies again for being out of the meeting for about 5 minutes. Yeah, Liam has covered some of the things I wanted to say, but I suppose from the office perspective, we are equally as frustrated as the elected members and indeed the wider public in this district. And I think when you look at the significant increase, I think it's 75% in terms of illicit dumping compared to the previous year, that figure really stands out. And it's not something I think the entire district, and I say we're all involved in this, can be proud about. It's actually the adverse of that. I think, though, this is going to require cultural change. And yes, there's a role for the council and indeed other statutory agencies playing their role, but it comes down to individual responsibility. And that's what we have tried to do through the enforcement improvement plan, is really through those three E's of education, engagement and enforcement, is really try to tackle this issue. But it will not be something that will be done overnight. And I think we all need to recognise that. That said, there are things that we feel as the council we can improve upon. So we'll take those comments on board and we'll bring back an update of the plan in May. I'm not sure what you had discussed or agreed when I was away, but I was going to suggest that in response to Councillor Mason's request for a monthly report, we could provide a monthly report in arrears for the number of fixed penalty notices issued. And you'd be able to track us in relation to that. But in terms of the improvement plan itself, if members were content, we would bring that back on a quarterly basis. I think it strikes a balance of allowing officers to get on with the task at hand, but equally to allow elected members to scrutinise our performance in terms of the improvements we want to make.
Okay. Thanks, Johnny. Earlier on, I think we had a proposal from Councillor Stokes. Could I get a seconder there for item 6? Before I move on. Thanks, Councillor Andrews. Okay, folks, move on to item 7, which It's the Weight Management Scale of Charges 2021-22. And that's Liam again.
Thank you, Chair. Just on an annual basis, following whenever the rate first struck, we do review our trade waste, our charges for in-waste. So the report really is just covers charges to commercial customers for bin collection, charges for sale of bins, charges for caravan collections, and also to note the caravan collection will be, cost will be reviewed in the incoming season. So it's to ask the councillors just to approve the recommendation that the council, the committee adopt the proposed waste service charge 2021 as set out in the appendix.
Okay. Thank you, Liam. With just a couple of questions coming in there for that one, Liam. Councillor McKevitt, you were in there first.
Yeah, thanks. I suppose the increase of 1.5% or 1.59%, but that would be in line with the striking of the rate then. Is that the way that's calculated? And also I just want to make a comment on the fact that any charities can pay for their bin, but there is free collection for them fortnightly on that, and I welcome the fact that in the times of austerity that we're in, we're trying, that is still the case in the report. I think that's something that's it's very much beneficial to local charities when they have that facility free of charge after they pay for their bin. So I'd welcome that, but just want clarification that the 1.59 was on the rates, and I would gladly propose the recommendations.
Okay, thanks, Councillor McGavitt. And Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Regarding the caravan costs, Liam, I'm conscious just of the issue we had previously in this. I just want to check, will there be engagement with the various caravan park operators before any decision is made on that? I just don't want a situation arising like last time where there was a fair amount of debate regarding it, if that's the best way of describing it. So just to get some clarity on that.
Yeah, Liam, do you want to come back on that one before I take the next question?
Certainly in relation to the 1.59%, that's drawn from the increase in the rates for this year. So that's the increase that we have applied to the waste charges. In relation to the caravan sites, following this meeting, caravan will have been advised previously as to there would be, as to what their prices, their trade prices will be. But certainly, yes, there will be now engagement with the caravan operators. It would be initially to advise as to a 1.59% to apply in this season, and also then to advise that we will be reviewing the prices for the next season from 1st of April 2022.
Yeah, thanks for that, Liam.
Thanks, Liam. Thank you.
Councillor Clark.
Thanks, Chair, and apologies for being late. I'm happy enough with the report. And it's been proposing. I'm happy to second if you need a seconder, Chairperson. There's a couple of issues in regards to, Liam, has there been any progress in regards to permits, for a man or a woman in a van, trade type permits? It's been a long time since we had a review. I'm conscious of COVID pandemic as well, but I get a lot of requests in regards to people who do clear outs and stuff like that, So, just any progress in that. And the other is it still the case in regards to if a bin's been stolen or damaged? If the resident gets a crime number, they would get one free replacement. Is that still the case?
Councillor Clark, there has been no change in the policy with regards to bins that are stolen. So certainly, yes, I can, if councillors want, I can certainly copy that and send it to all councillors. But our policy still remains that subject to a crime number being provided, we will provide assistance to the householder.
Thanks very much. I very appreciate that.
In relation to the permit, We have stage two of our implementation plan for the HRC sites to really get moving again. Unfortunately, COVID did delay that. We hope to complete that this during the incoming season. So I would just hope by coming towards the end of September that we should be in a position to best report back to council as to a permit system to be implemented.
Thanks very much for that, and thanks, Chair. Just to follow on, just in regards to, I think it could, while there's no reason for illegal dumping, I think if this permit issue is, you know, resolved and brought forward, I think it'll reduce the amount of flight because these will people be registered with the council.
Okay. Thanks, Councillor Clark. Okay, so for item 7, we had a proposal from Councillor McKevitt and seconded by Councillor Clark. And if everyone's happy enough, we'll move on to item 8. And this item's just for noting, it is the arrangements for refuse collections and opening of HRC sites, public holidays during the period of 1st of April 2021 to the 31st of March 2022. And Liam, this is you again.
Thank you, Chair. As you say, it's the public holiday arrangements for 21-22. Discussion has been held with our staff representatives and with regards our reprocessing partners, because they own operate licensed facilities and there's days that they can open and can't open. But the sheds are designed to provide as little disruption as possible. And as I say, I hope that's reflected in the proposal. So it really is to ask the council to approve the recommendations.
Okay, thank you, Liam. We have a proposal in there from Councillor Andrews. So it's just for noting, but Councillor McKevitt, have you a question there on that?
Yeah, I just wanted to query about the opening times. Liam, with the brighter evenings and stuff coming in, is there, and obviously if restrictions, COVID restrictions are open up a wee bit. The opening times for the recycling centres, is there an opportunity there to be able to extend those with the brighter evenings or seasonal, is that what you call it?
The Councillor McEvitt, you're absolutely correct in that our hours now will be and are certainly being reviewed. But again, the COVID may be reduced or whatever, but the point at this point in time, we still have to operate within the guidelines that we have. We have a review currently underway as to what our opening hours may be from the 1st of April, but at this point, I can only say that the hours at this point are going to continue to be Monday to Saturday, 10 to 15:45. We are actively trying to find a way to have maybe some late night openings, but I can only ask that you leave that with us to see what way we can extend the opening hours.
Well, just on a follow up to that then, Owen, if that's all right, just so we are opening to suggestions. There could be change to this proposal then if the restrictions are eased a bit.
So the public holiday arrangements I would suggest are the best that we can provide at this point in time. I think we have to review as we go on if opportunity is available. But I'm also tasked with staffing arrangements. My staff, they only have so many hours available in a working week for them. So we have to match the available hours that the staff have. And as I say, under COVID at this point in time, I must have two people on the site at all times. So I would suggest, Councillor, that you will have to leave it with us until we can see what options we do have.
Okay, I'm happy to second that then.
Yeah, thank you. Johnny, are you looking in there?
Yeah, Chair, thank you. Maybe just to clarify in response to Councillor McCarver's question, there's two distinct elements to that. In the first instance, we're still operating the household recycling centres in accordance with the COVID-19 risk assessment. And I suppose what's driving that is protecting the public and protecting our staff. And that's resulted in us securing temporary additional staff to supplement what we already have. Now, that's a temporary basis. And that's what Liam was referring to, that we are actively reviewing that risk assessment so we can reduce the burden on the council and increase our opening hours. There is then, Chair, I think Councillor Clark was referring to this, a review of our household recycling centres. So we, about 18 months ago, the council agreed a new suite of policies governing those household recycling centres. There is a second part of that review, which is looking at the whole provision of those household recycling centres. And I would like to bring that back to the committee before the summer. And that will deal with how we actually create a uniform service and where we have two different legacy operating arrangements, one for the new council, and then we can provide certainty on what the opening arrangements will be for specific sites, as well as evenings and weekends.
Okay, thanks for that, Johnny. All right, folks, we'll move on to item 9. And this is the siting beehives and former council landfill at Upnaughton. And that's Liam again.
Thank you, Chair. Well, the report details that this is joint working with our biodiversity officer. We have been contacted by a local beehive organisation, and they're seeking new sites for the Irish black honeybee, would you believe? So they've identified our site at Auchnagon as a potential site on which they want to put 6 beehives. The proposal has been considered by the local DEA group and has been discussed with officers, following which we did propose it should be a local consultation. So the recommendation there is that we do seek to accommodate this request. There are a number of issues that have to be ironed out with regards access arrangements to the state, communication, insurance implications. But we do think it's a good news option, and we provisionally recommend that council approve this for initially for a 1-year period.
Yeah, thanks, Liam. I had a good pronunciation of that word at the end, so I think I'll practice that one, Liam. Councillor McKevitt, have you a question for that one?
Yeah, no, just wanted to welcome it. I did come to the Crotleaf DEA, so I've known quite a wee bit about this. But the biodiversity and the future of the council is very, very important, and this is a fine example of what can be done locally with old landfill site and the flora that's producing it. I was just wondering, and I'm very conscious that my hand is very, very active tonight on the buzzer, but there's great stuff on tonight's agenda. I was just welcoming it and the initiative of it, and may there be more of it in and around the district. I think it's a brilliant idea. And the council should be trying its best to accommodate the local group that are doing this as a wee pilot scheme. It might encourage others around different DEAs maybe to be able to do the same. So I'm happy to propose.
Yeah, thanks, Councillor McKevitt. So that's been proposed by yourself, Councillor McKevitt, and seconded by Councillor Clark. We'll move on to item 10. Item 10 is actually items 10, 11 and 12 are all for noting. Item 10 is our 21 Joint Committee Members Bulletin of the 25th of February. Item 11 is the our 21 Joint Committee Meeting Minutes held on the 28th of January 2021. And item 12 is the Historic Action Sheet. Johnny, is that you?
Yes, Chair. Again, happy to take any comments or questions, but these are just for noting, Chair, those particular items.
Okay. If everyone's happy enough, we move on. So we're moving on to item 13. So these are consent items. So items 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 and 23 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may, by resolution, be excluded during these items of business. So can I get a proposer and a seconder to go into closed session? Oh, I see I have Councillor Andrews has proposed and seconded Councillor McKevitt. So I'll give it a minute for... Okay, so I'll just give an update of the closed session items. Item 13 with the R21 Joint Committee meeting minutes of Thursday the 20th of January 2021. It was unanimously agreed to note the R21 Joint Committee meeting minutes held on Thursday the 20th of January 2021. Item 14 was the business case for the provision of hire of building maintenance and grounds maintenance, plant and machinery. On the proposal of Councillor Mason, seconded by Councillor McKevitt, it was agreed to note the content of the report and approve the findings of the business case presented in option 3, which would see the appointment of suitable hire firms to supply ad hoc plant and machinery for the next 12-month period with
Excuse
an option.
Me. Sorry, a member of the press has just requested to be admitted again, so sorry.
You just let me know when we're ready to go, Linda.
That's grand. Chair, you can go ahead now. Thank you.
Okay. Apologies for that, folks. Member of the press was just looking back in. I'll just read them again there. So item 13, it was unanimously agreed to note the R21 Joint Committee meeting minutes held on Thursday, the 20th of January, 2021. Item 14 was the business case for the provision of hire of building maintenance and ground maintenance, plant and machinery. On the proposal of Councillor Mason, seconded by Councillor McKevitt, it was agreed to note the content of the report and prove the findings of the business case presented in option 3, which would see the appointment of suitable hire firms to supply ad hoc plant and machinery for the next 12-month period, with an option to extend or up to a maximum value of £80,000. In item 15, it was the business case for deep cleaning of paved surfaces in public realm area. On the proposal of Councillor McKevitt, seconded by Councillor Clark, it was agreed to note the content of the report and approve the business case to procure a contract for the provision of deep cleaning of public realm areas within the district. Item 16, the business case for the supply and delivery of 120-litre street litter bins. On the proposal of Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor Mason, it was agreed to note the content of the report and approve the business case to procure a contract for the supply and delivery of 120-litre street litter bins. Item 17, the business cases for the replacement of medium-sized chassis cab vehicles. It was agreed to note the content of the report and approve the business cases for the replacement of medium-sized chassis cab vehicles. Item 18, the business case for the replacement of 5x3 500 to 6500 kilogram medium-sized chassis cab vehicles for cleansing. On the proposal of Councillor Curran, seconded by Councillor Stokes, it was agreed to approve the business case at Appendix 2 for the replacement of 5x3 500 to 6500 kilogram medium-sized chassis cab vehicles for cleansing. Item 19 was the business case for the replacement of 10x5000 to 6500 kg medium-sized chassis cab vehicles for facilities management and maintenance, Appendix 3. On the proposal of Councillor Curran, seconded by Councillor Stokes, it was agreed to approve the business case at Appendix 3 for the replacement of 10x5000 to 6500 kg medium-sized chassis cab vehicles for facilities management and maintenance. Item 20 was the business case for the replacement of 5x3500 kg medium-sized chassis cab vehicles for facilities management and maintenance. Appendix 4. On the proposal of Councillor Curran, seconded by Councillor Stokes, it was agreed to approve the business case at Appendix 4 for the replacement of 5x3500 kg medium-sized chassis cab vehicles for facilities management and maintenance. Item 21 was the business case for miscellaneous services. On the proposal of Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor Andrews, it was agreed to note the content of the report and approve the business case to procure a contract for the undertaking of miscellaneous duties, including collection of status catagrams, collection of dead animals, collection of illicit dumping, salting of facilities, squashing of skipped contents, and miscellaneous transport. Item 22 was the business case for the HRC small skip servicing. On the proposal of Councillor McKevitt, seconded by Councillor Mason, it was agreed to note the content of the report and approve the business case to procure a contract for the collection and transport of skips at the Hilltown Household Recycling Centre. Item 23 was the business case for the purchase of wheel bins. On the proposal of Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor Murphy, it was agreed to note the content of the report and approve the business case for the supply of wheel bins. And that's everything for tonight. So thanks very much, everyone, for attending.
Thank you, members.
Next meeting. All right.
Happy St. Patrick's Day,
everybody.
Thank you. Happy St. Patrick's Day. All right.
Go easy.